So what's in the mailbag?
So we've had Alison writing in response to the pulse oximeter story that you did last week, suggesting that they're not quite as effective at measuring oxygen levels in people who are darker skinned.
And just to explain, what we're talking about here is that, if you didn't hear the story, it's that little thing that they put on your, the little sleeve that they put on your index finger when you go into the casualty department or maybe after an operation to measure your blood oxygen level.
And Alison writes, thank you for the program today. It would be good for Dr. Swan and Dr. Alexander to highlight the absence of information in most Australian first aid courses, certainly in nearly everyone that I have done in the past 30 years, about how people of colour present with shock and low oxygenation differently.
And we should just express, talk about the word shock. So word shock medically means different from either an electric shock or getting a fright. Shock is loss of blood, loss of blood pressure, and is, you know, a life-threatening condition.
Very unwell. And so Alison writes, first aid content always talks about the person looking pale, red in the face, blue, grey, etc. But these descriptors are based on difference from how Caucasian people usually appear, not necessarily applicable or best advice if trying to assess a patient who has black or brown skin, and I completely agree. And can I just say, Norman, I've only ever had one instructor explicitly mention that.
So how does it present in people of colour?
Well, it just they might not have the colour changes that you might expect in a Caucasian person. So I don't necessarily go blue or red. I might lose a bit of my skin tone colour, but it might not be visible enough for you to recognise.
So in you, it's got to go by your pulse and your blood pressure.
Please put the cuff on my arm. Please actually feel my radial pulse. I would be eternally grateful.
And before I get failed on the definition of shock, it's not just blood loss. It could be infection.
Septic
it could
be a shock, heart attack. Yes. I wasn't going to pick on you, but I just assumed that you knew that.
I wouldn't assume anything. You know,
no, I don't assume anything.
I trained before the antibiotic era.
David has also written in saying, I'm writing to thank you for your coverage of osteoarthritis. I feel this is an email directly to you, Norman.
An email.
Because you do love the osteoarthritis chats. But to let you know the significant impact it has had on my quality of life, at around 10 years of age, I was struck by a truck while riding my bicycle. My left knee was severely injured. After a long course of physio, I recovered, or so I thought.
He basically developed early arthritis. A very, very similar story to mine, I must say. He was diagnosed at an early age with osteoarthritis and, you know, advised that, you know, he was heading towards surgery and so on. And then in 2017, he heard an interview I did with Professor David Hunter at the University of Sydney, which talked about regenerative and degenerative factors and rehabilitation, which is what he did. And at 51, he's back to running.
Wow. David actually says, none of this would have happened without you, the Health Report crew and Professor David Hunter.
Isn't that nice?
And he says, ballet has replaced gymnastics and I'm due to make my first performance at the end of the year. We would love to come if you tell us, David. Norman and I might be in the audience cheering you on, but we do love your emails. If you'd like to write into us, it's healthreport@abc.net.au.
And don't forget our sister podcast, What's That Rash?, where this week we're comparing dry needling with acupuncture and do they work to treat pain?
I'll see you next week.
See you then.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.